If you've been following the news, you will see that nearly 800 Palestinians have reportedly been killed since May while trying to reach humanitarian aid in Gaza, with over 600 of those deaths occurring near aid sites coordinated by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation that is backed by Israel and the United States. Israel has acknowledged responsibility for some of the deaths and says investigations are ongoing. At the same time, Israeli officials have floated the idea of creating a so-called humanitarian city in southern Gaza, a designated zone to house displaced civilians, though critics warn it may amount to forced displacement or even long-term containment. Well, joining us now to unpack these developments from Israel is Neil Lazarus, a political commentator, and you can see and read more about him at Awesome Seminars, oneword.com. Neil, thank you so much for joining us. Israel's admission of accidentally killing nearly 800 Palestinians while they were trying to access food is devastating. And while it didn't say, it said some of those deaths it was responsible for and it's investigating. But why do you think it took this long for the military to acknowledge these deaths?
Well, I need to correct you. They didn't admit to being responsible for the killing of 800 people. That's not correct.
They acknowledged for some of them.
Well, there's a big difference between some of them and 800. So we need to get the numbers right. So Israel isn't responsible. And we can be critical of what is happening, that's for sure. But we need to differentiate between the false propaganda of Hamas and the reality on the ground. There certainly has been deaths in the last 48 hours. There's also been a stampede at one of these sites for food distribution. But I think that what's happening is it hits at the core of the problem with Gaza. Israel has never thought really about the day after. And at the heart of who's going to control Gaza, if the army leaves, if it ever leaves, is the question of humanitarian aid. What we've seen is that Hamas has been taking aid from the United Nations, using it, stealing it, using it for its own purposes, and then also selling it to the Gazans, making money and taxing them on it. So it became a means of survival for Hamas. That's the logic behind creating an alternative. Now, the problem has become, and you raised, and this is where you are accurate, Israel's proposal to create a humanitarian area, initially for 600,000 people, and then we're talking maybe for the whole population of Israel. The idea is to create an area where Hamas won't be able to control and benefit from aid, that people will be able to get there. I think there is room for criticism to say, or raise the question, which is Israel encouraging people to move to certain areas of the Gaza Strip in order that they get the humanitarian aid? And I think the answer to that would probably be yes. Worth pointing out, by the way, that the army, Israeli army itself, opposes this plan and set out a lot of criticism in the last cabinet meeting, saying, look, we're the army, we will follow the orders you give, but you should realize there's a number of problems. Who's going to control these humanitarian areas? How's aid going to get there? What about sanitary conditions? Many of these places are going to be just tents. So it's a very problematic policy. I don't think it's been thought through. But as far as the numbers you gave, those were not accurate.
Neil, when you talk about humanitarian areas, I know the media is reflecting it as humanitarian cities inside Gaza. Do you know what exactly is being proposed that would be different to how the humanitarian aid is being handed out at the moment? I mean, you still are essentially using the Israeli army to protect these areas where you are distributing aid.
Well, again, it's not the Israeli army that's giving out the aid itself. Okay, it's the international facilitators, for want of a better word. I think what's different is what Israel is talking about and speculating is to set up actual areas themselves, large areas, a city or even bigger than that, which would be the only area where humanitarian aid is distributed. The point also being that people, once they enter that area, wouldn't be allowed back out, back to the north, and at the same time would, if they wanted to leave Gaza, would be encouraged to do so voluntarily. Again, it's in its early stages. It's certainly controversial. I think that the army itself, like I mentioned, opposes it on a pragmatic and cost level, by the way. But certainly the some of the elements to the Israeli government and the Trump administration favor this. So the difference is size and restriction of movement or encouragement of population movement to these areas.
I mean, if the IDF... Okay, I mean, you said it's not the soldiers handing it out, but let's just say if there's no guarantee for the safety of civilians at food lines, how can Israel promise to protect the Gaza civilians in a so-called humanitarian city? I mean, it just really feels like a rebranding.
Well, I agree with you. And I think, by the way, what you're reflecting is some of the problems and dilemmas that the army has. The army doesn't want to see soldiers handing out food to Gazans. Okay, the idea is that these areas would be would have soldiers on the borders on the checking that the people coming in are not Hamas supporters. The idea certainly isn't that Israeli troops would be distributing food. That's the last thing the army wants as well. So it's different. It's not just rebranding. It's larger in scale. It's looking towards some form of permanent resolution to the humanitarian problem in Gaza. I think it raises many problems, and certainly hasn't been thought through long term.
It's just such a difficult situation because, I mean, I want to ask you why is Israel even getting involved in this? Because it weakens Israel's moral position internationally, even if Israel's not responsible for what's happening at these food lines. But on the other hand, if Israel doesn't get involved with distributing aid, it faces the accusation that it's starving people in Gaza. So it's almost like a no-win situation.
Well, yeah, 100% is a catch-22. If you don't allow aid in, you're condemned for encouraging, you know, the starvation of the Gazans. If you become responsible or jointly responsible with American interest and involvement in helping them in some way, you're also responsible. So it's a lose-lose situation. I think at the end of the day, what we need to see happening is a better understanding or a better perception of what does Israel want to do the day after. The army, and again, I give credit to the IDF here, is asking the hard questions. And I come back and say, well, I said before, if you're creating this city, these humanitarian cities, who's going to run it? Who's running the aid itself? Mm-hmm. Who is running the schools? Okay, what happens? It's like 33 degrees here. How are people going to live in tents like that? Mm-hmm. So these are real problems, which are not questions of, you know, propaganda. It's really a question of, you know, conditions on the ground, and we could be building a situation which could ferment into something worse. That's for sure.
These are certainly deeply complex and evolving issues where humanitarian needs, military strategy and international law collide. We'll certainly continue to follow the story as it develops. That's Neil Lazarus, a political commentator at awesomeseminars.com. Awesome Seminars being one word.